Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And happy Party Friday, everybody. Julie Hayden here. Chuck Bonniewell, my partner in crime and husband and co-host, is at another meeting. He's got a ton of meetings lately. So it's just going to be me today. It's the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. And I'm not framed correctly, but I want you to see this. I'm wearing the BBS Radio guys had these great t-shirts made up that they sent us. So I don't know if you want one, maybe we can pull some strings and get you one, but I want to thank them at BBS Radio for the t-shirts. That's great. We have tons to talk about today. We'll have Trent Lisey coming up, but wanted to start off with Tim Leonard from Jefferson County. He is a bonus member on the State Executive Committee, or Central Committee, and I'll let Tim sort of explain. And we talked to him last week, or maybe it was the week before, about Jefferson County rogue Rhino chair Nancy Pelosi launching this unauthorized attack in effort to oust Dave Williams, with which Jefferson County squashed and put down. But Tim, hey, thank you and welcome to the show.
Sure. Thanks, Julie. Pleasure to be here.
And why don't you explain, you're a grassroots activist in Jefferson County. Explain your role on the state party as well.
I was elected in Jefferson County to be a bonus member for Jefferson County to the State Central Committee. So that's about 406 folks that are the ones that vote for the state chair, and some of the resolutions go to the convention, et cetera. So that's really all our role is.
Okay. Now, so what I wanted to talk about as we head into the last few days before the June 25th primary, the establishment uniparty, what I call the Anschutz media industrial complex, has completely ramped up its attacks on Dave Williams. Dave, as you know, is running for Congress in CD5 against the Rhino Americans for Prosperity, Nikki Haley supporting Jeff Hurd. And they must be worried because the
Jeff Hurd is in
CD3. So Jeff Crank, this was a headline in Colorado politics today. A dozen Colorado counties join move to oust Colorado GOP chair Dave Williams over Pride Month attacks. There are so many things wrong with that headlines. I mean, and first I would point out, and tell me what you think of this, that, okay, well, there are 64 counties in Colorado. So the headline would more fairly and accurately read, more than 50 Colorado counties join move to support GOP chair Dave Williams, right? I mean, is that fair?
Yes, that would be a fair framing of it. But of course, this is the battle of ideas, right? For the hearts and minds of the, especially people in Dave's race.
Right.
That this dual battle of the chairmanship versus his bid for U.S. Congress is being mixed together. And I think it's being used just to throw as much jello on the wall to see what sticks, because I think Dave does exactly what the establishment doesn't want to do, which is frames exactly the issues we should be talking about and right. frames them in a way that puts the Democrats on defense.
Exactly. And I mean, the other lie about this is it was not a Pride Month attack. What it was an attack on was this progressive, radical, extreme transgender agenda that would seek to mutilate and indoctrinate children, right? I mean, that's what you got the letter. That's what they were talking about. Dave was talking about, right?
That's exactly it. I think in his letter, he makes it very clearly that I think it was on the 3rd of June. Get ready, folks, because Pride Month is here. And that means you're going to have these activist, godless groomers that are coming and pushing their agenda on you and your children. And that's really what the issue is. And everybody else has misquoted him and tried to frame it any way to make it in the worst light. And most of the folks that do it, while they may be well-intentioned, they definitely can't handle the debate. And that's really what it is. This is a moral debate because we are in a battle of good and evil. They know it. and they say, well, this just isn't the way to do it. But they never offer the right way to do it because there isn't one. You have to hit it dead on and call it what it is.
Well, yeah. What would be the right way to say we should sexually mutilate children? I mean, what's the right way to frame that? That's like, what's the right way to frame sexually grooming a child? What's the right way to frame that, right? You know?
Right. And to play defense on and say, well, maybe some kids some of the time, maybe other people's kids, maybe this. And that's what Dave has done, is a brilliant job of being able to hand them this hand grenade, Democrats, and right. then let them decompose it and say, well, that's not what I said, or I meant this. And all that assertive, aggressive, and very offensive behavior, they would have to defend. But instead, of course, and I've read Dick Wadhams and all these folks that come out and say, well, we just can't handle a debate like this. It's just done the wrong way. But we've had 20 years of it being done the right way, and it hasn't had any success whatsoever. And we've watched, right, the language of these homosexual activists go from homosexuals to gays. They'll change it to gays. And then it's transgender, or it's LGBT. Well, it's LGBTQ. Oh, it's LGBTQ plus. And we get drawn into this right. when there's no relation whatsoever, except for sexually deviant behavior. But no one can say that because, oh, you know, we think, well, we're sinners and we ought not judge people. But if we cannot speak out against anything that's wrong because we commit wrong, then we'd never speak out because we're always committing some wrong. We're all sinners.
And not only that, but I mean, Dave is on target over this. We've saw numerous NFL teams say, we're not participating in the Pride Week thing. We saw all of the transgender swimsuits that we were doing stories about this time last year at Target. All of that is gone. Everybody has realized, except for the rhinos and the radical Democrats, the most radical Democrats, that this was too far, right? And that this could be something between a person, a child, and their family, that it had crossed a line. And that's what I want to also then ask you about this. And it's my intention that the Colorado Uniparty establishment people, this is not about Pride Month anyway. They have been attacking Dave and calling for Dave's ouster since the afternoon he was elected, right? I mean, they've been trying to get rid of this. Was just the latest excuse they had, right?
That's exactly right. And they just pull it off. And unfortunately for them, they should have waited because they picked the wrong topic, and you can see the headlines. Well, now we've done it. That's the trigger that puts us off, is their attack on, and then they list a very big LBG community. And mm-hmm. that wasn't what it was. It was pure activism, and parents are relieved that the Republican Party is stepping up. It clearly puts lots of voters. It doesn't alienate anyone except those who were never going to vote for this party anyway, and for any campaign person or any candidate in it. Instead, it shows parents that there's people on their side.
Exactly. And I think in the meantime, the other thing is still front and center on the Colorado Politics site is another headline that's talking about the original Nancy Pelosi piece and the move to oust Dave, right? And once again, it neglects to mention that move was shot down by Jefferson County Republicans, and there is no move anymore. So even when they say they joined the move to oust Dave Williams, that move is dead. It was rendered null and void. When enough people rose up against, I think, what you call the oligarch, the elite county chair people, right?
That you are correct, Julie. The issue that never got brought up in that executive meeting, or they never brought back out into the public meeting that I was at, the only issue was a resolution that completely censored the chair on this issue. It was something that was in the purview of the executive committee to say, we've got to rein in our chair because she went out and represented as if the Jefferson County Republicans were behind this petition to call for a meeting. What was never brought out, Nancy never brought in onto the floor of any of the executive committee, the other issue that she told everybody she was going to do, which is, I want to get the feel for our executive committee to see if they, in fact, wanted to have Dave step down or if they want to call a meeting. Now, of course, they didn't have the authority to do that because just central committee people have that. But she never even brought that as a question on the table to get voted on. So you're right. Not only did it die, it never got put there in order to vote on. So it was dead on arrival.
And so the whole thing is being manipulated by Kyle Clark, by the various media outlets, to pretend that there is this move to oust Dave Williams. And in so doing, they avoid talking about, like what you said, what he actually said, which most people agree with. One other thing I want to point out is we're seeing continued attacks talking about Dave spending state party money on his campaign. Well, that also is not true. And it's a complete twisting of what's happening. The state party has sent out all kinds of information supporting Republican candidates. And so they aren't saying, well, the state party is spending money, you know, supporting so-and-so's campaign, right? It's only when it's Dave Williams that they say, well, they're spending, they're not spending any, and Dave has repeatedly said this, they're not spending any money directly on Dave's campaign. It's just, he's a candidate like dozens of other people. And they always conveniently forget that Ken Buck was also chair when he was running, right? They make it seem as if, oh, this running for chair. I mean, the whole thing, it's just an effort, again, I think, by this handful, really, of establishment Republicans clinging to whatever power is left there and using whatever excuse they can, and they're in collusion with the media.
Exactly. I think the media does jump on it because it's too much fresh meat for them to avoid, and they get the clicks. On that issue of funds, right. I have an email from the accountant of the state party that clearly said, because people had asked the question, Dave's campaign is not benefiting from any direct expenditures by the party for CD5. His campaign is pulling its own weight. We're keeping a close eye on the finances to make sure that every penny is accounted for and that the party is not out any money. So right. Then but I saw these other issues that said, yeah, but it says it's paid for, this flyer was paid for by the Central Committee, the Colorado Republican Committee. And so I asked Dave directly, said, Dave, what does that mean? It says it on there. He says, happens all the time. We have a permit, the state party, like all the other state parties do, have a permit with the United States Postal Service to be able to have a greatly reduced discount for political mailings. And when that's used, any candidate can be able to use that. But when those mailings go out, the Postal Service says you have to have that as the header. Basically, that's the sender, because that's the permit number that has to go out. But when it goes out, the candidate's campaign reimburses or pays directly. Either one, I think it's reimbursed 100% of all those costs of that. So it does look like, and if somebody made one phone call, they would right. be able to see that none of the state party's funds went to any specific mailers for Dave's campaign. And I think he's been quite gentlemanly about it to not have to play defense. But right. at the same time, I think good people have jumped to conclusions without being able to get the facts.
And so let me clarify then. So basically, the Republican Party has sort of like a discount through the mail service, like every other state party, nothing special that at all. So any candidate, if they wanted to, could essentially use the state party's discount, but then that little line has to be there at the bottom. So it's not just Dave. Any candidate who has any intelligence would be also using this same discount, probably, right?
I would imagine so. Now, obviously, probably have to be a big enough campaign that it have to be enough mailing pieces to make the right. discount worthwhile. But the bottom line is, no matter what it says on the left, on the upper left, that's the permit that it has to go out under. But right. that does not mean that the funds were spent by the party funds.
That's right. It's just a discount that any candidate could also take advantage of. Well, and as you say, they explain, and no matter how often I've seen Dave explain this numerous times, and they don't care. And Kyle Clark still jumps on and he goes, well, that's not true. And I go back to, and I just don't want people to be fooled. This doesn't have anything to do, I think, no. Not anything to do with this. This is bigger than CD5. This is bigger than just Dave Williams. This is an all-out attack. on the grassroots in Colorado. And I mean, it's across the nation too. I think it's against Trump as well. But I think that's what's going on here. There are some people who have been clinging to power in the Republican Party with a losing playbook for decades anymore. And they would rather lose, I think, than see somebody in the grassroots win. What do you think?
I totally agree with you, Julie. I think that playbook, and you said it the right way, that's a losing playbook. Because if you can't offer up a candidate, and that's one of the state party chair's job, is to make sure that candidates that step into the arena and have an R after their name actually believe in the party platform, will defend the party platform, and know what they're doing. They have to charge the field and be able to say, this is the battleground that I'm in. And if we're in a battle of ideas and of good and evil, you have to be able to say the words that all the other candidates can't say. You know what? You've got to be able to denounce pedophilia and castration and mutilation and all the grooming and lewd behavior and all these drag shows that are pulling all these kids in there and all the other ramifications that come with it. You have to be able to say that because that's front and center on voters' minds. It's not alienating voters. It's pulling the voters in that says, it's about time I can vote for a candidate and a party that knows what they're standing for and will go out there and do it. And that's, you have to be on offense. You can't be on defense in politics.
No. And, as a TV reporter, I covered way too many sad stories that just haunt you on this kind of thing. And this, what they're doing, and that it is a battle between, I didn't used to think politics was good and evil, but, and I don't know if I change or the politics change, but this is, I believe, a battle for good and evil. One of the typical things when you see these transgender people, when you see the men in their underwear, like Dave showed in that flyer, twerking in front of children, it all is one of the first steps of grooming is to make it seem normal to have this sexualization going on, to make it seem normal to see an adult man that you don't know in his underwear coming up and talking to you, right? And that's a first step. And then, of course, the following up steps is a sexual abuse and sexual exploitation, right? But then, like you said, you make it's impossible for a parent. How do you complain about that, right? To me, it's just ridiculous. If we started sending hookers and strippers into our schools, people would obviously say, well, no, you can't do that. You can't have a stripper pole dancing in kindergarten. And yet, somehow or another, they try to say, oh, because it's transgender, that makes it okay to sexualize a child. And you're right, we have to be able, because if we don't protect the kids, Tim, who's going to?
That's exactly right. And it's not a homosexual versus a heterosexual issue. The only thing is, so the big picture obviously is all sexual behavior outside of marriage is not good for the person. It's not good for the society. And in some cases, it's against natural law. Well, only the people on the pride side, the homosexual side, have tried to change that deviant behavior to make it look like it gets an excuse somehow different than heterosexual behavior. And you said the same thing. You wouldn't have heterosexual behavior everywhere else. It wouldn't
right.
be. But somehow there's this past because that's this pride. And so that God hates pride, that issue drives at the heart of it. Don't ever be proud of your sin because we all commit sins, but we should be ashamed at them and we should never broadcast them and never label ourselves that our personality or our voting habits or any of our economic activity is driven by our sexual behavior. It's crazy to say I'm in a class that says, oh, I'm protected because of my sexual behavior.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, and it goes even further, and you kind of hit on it, talking a little bit about society. I think that this is all part, again, and I'd like to get your thoughts, of an even bigger thing, right? And that is the destruction of the family. When you have parents who can't protect their children, when you have governments and school systems saying, we're going to counsel your children, we're not even going to tell you about it. It's about destroying the family and replacing the family, replacing God with the government, where the government tells you everything, the government, even if you had a well-intentioned government, that's bad, but we've seen ours. I mean, don't you, I think that's, and this is, so this whole transgender thing and this sexual exploitation of children, it's part of this bigger picture to tear apart society and then rebuild it with the government in charge of everything.
That is very true on how it starts and how it ends, the goal. But all the players in between are only serving their same self-interest, right? Mm-hmm. All the people that abide in the gay pride parades and are more and more deviant each year are only doing their very small piece inside that puzzle to be able to say, hey, this is what's good for me. It's kind of like now we see the women holding up, I'm proud of my abortion. And that we didn't see before because we hadn't given them room for that. We had brought shame upon them and some kind of a pushback that says, listen, I'm not proud of any of these other sins. Why right. should you be proud of that? And when we start loosening that, it does fit in a grand scheme of evil that it really hurts people. And the children are the ones most hurt because their innocence of right and wrong is right. broken down. And that's really a shame.
Well, and you know, and I'll take it even further too. You look at some of the things like the Met Gala and some of these big formal things. And who's that Kanye West's wife who wanders around? I mean, in naked, I mean, the celebrities are pushing, and it's not just transgender. I mean, they're straight, right? They're pushing this style of dress. I mean, when my daughter was 12 and 13, I mean, I used to worry about you could see her belly button, right? I mean, that is so far nuts, you know. And you look at the openly sexual clothes. I mean, where everything is displayed, right? You can see everything and somehow, and they're like, oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And you're right. It's the same thing. It's this overt sexualization. I think it's aimed at children to make it seem normal to children, to see naked adults, to see adults engaging in very sexual type of behavior. And it's wrong no matter who's doing it, I think.
You're exactly right. I mean, you're pinpointing the two big virtues in our day that are getting beat up on are chastity and modesty. And right. and those go hand in hand. And it's for everyone. It's never changed in all the years of society. And it's a way to be able to have a society that there isn't adulterous behavior or covetousness on everyone else. And that's part of our Ten Commandments, right? So you can break down each one, and it makes it tougher and tougher for people to avoid the temptations of sin and those we call them, you know, near occasions of temptation, right. so that we have some resistance. The good news is, as we draw this line, as it gets closer and more in your face, there's a lot more parents and kids themselves
right.
and say, it's not right. I am going to fight this back, and I am going to do it with all the spiritual warfare that it takes inside. And maybe we see more homeschoolers. I think that we did with COVID.
Yeah.
See more people that are being drawn to their families, being surrounded by other like-minded people that do want to be able to insulate their children from this battle until right. they're of the age and have the well-formed conscience that they can go out and fight very successfully on those grounds.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I'm going to make the lighthearted point, too, that really, when you get right down to it, 99.9% of the people do not look all that good, pretty much naked, right? I mean, when you just get right down to it, not only that, just on the basis of aesthetics, we do not need to be seeing a lot of this kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if we can take a vote on who should get to dress immodestly, but I'm just saying the average guy in a Speedo does not look that great. And the average woman wearing like basically nothing also would look much better in Spanx or something like that. Let me, before I let you go, just your thoughts. I mean, you've just got a few days, sort of your assessment of how you, because I think this is not just in across the country, but in Colorado, this is a big primary. I think, I mean, I've seen it framed, you know, battle for the soul. I mean, I think that goes more than maybe perhaps just one election, but your just thoughts on next Tuesday.
Yeah, I do think, I think you're right, Julie. And I think people are seeing it. And the more this comes up, the backfiring of all this issue with Dave and the chair really polarizes people in two regards. Obviously, I'm really disappointed in the Republican Party, why they can't be united. But plenty of people are saying there really wasn't a unity anyway in there, because when that part of the Uniparty was always talking about, you've got to unite around us and vote for these candidates that don't follow the party platform. Now it's showing that. And I hope that good voters, especially parents and others who care about the fabric of society, will get out there and vote for somebody like Dave, like Ron Hanks, that really do want that what's best for society and are willing to sacrifice and go against the grain to do it. So I'm hoping that it really shows. And it's just like Trump many years ago, or maybe even this year, we'll see what happens, that many people are overwhelmed and the industrial, you know, election machine will be very unpleasantly surprised, as we all are very pleasantly surprised, that we really do have good moral people who want to see that back in our society.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. Tim, once again, thank you for coming and taking the time. And thank you for all the work that you're doing out there in Jefferson County. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Julie.
All right. Hey, thank you, Tim. Charlene, I hear you. Feel free.
Just saying it is that. And not only is it, aside from the Christian issue, it's a medical and a mental health issue, because when children transition, they are subject to a lifetime of hormone treatment. And I had a nurse practitioner friend who had to prescribe hormones for transitioning children and adults and adolescents. And she said they were constantly up and down. And emotionally, you know, as a woman, we know how emotions affect us. But when
I was going to say,
when you try to adapt to what is in your DNA from the get-go, and it's still trying to be what it was born to be, and then you're introducing hormones to offset that. I mean, it's not just a moral issue. It's a moral issue in that it is a detriment to the health of an individual, and it's a decision that's irreversible. And you know, the Academy of Pediatricians came out against and the fact that it's part of the alphabet, and you know, a lot of people saying, well, they don't want it to be in there. Well, if the LG community doesn't want it to be in there, they need to disassociate themselves from the pride flag and the flying and the promotion and the aiding and promoting of transitioning. You know, it's like me living in my house and then someone comes in and takes over my house and they turn into a house of ill repute. Do you think I'm just going to continue to live in that house? No, I'm going to leave that house. I'm going to say I'm not part of that house.
Right.
And so I do think that is just kind of a, excuse for it's left in there, but they're saying, oh, it's not what we believe. You know, if you don't believe it, then leave that.
You need to speak up. Oh no, you're absolutely right.
And not fly that flag, because that flag does have T in there for transgendering and transitioning, and it's just not healthy. And aside from just the Christian aspect of it, it's harmful. It's harmful, and so. Right. I just wanted to add my two bits there.
Thank you. And I think, you know, Sean, then you look at, as more information, as I started to pay attention to this, I mean, I was reading a study, and this is understandable, right? That like a significant percentage of teenagers that think they're transgender at age 15, by the time they're 22, are not anymore, right? I mean, and that's a confusing age anyway. And when you make it suddenly cool to be that, but then, I mean, that's bad enough. But then when you throw in, it'd be as if we decided that, you know, I write with my left hand or with my right hand, but I really think that I was born a left-handed writer, so I chop my right arm off, right? I mean, somebody would say, Julie, that's an unhealthy decision. You know, you might need your right hand at some point, right? But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. No one would say, oh, that makes sense. You know, I identify as a left-handed writer, so I'm going to chop my right arm off. And it's astonishing to me, Charlene, that we're even actually having this discussion. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And, you know, the argument that a lot of them have is that, well, if you want to mutilate your body, it's your right. But it's the whole industry that's promoting and aiding it and promoting it in schools to where children think it's trendy and then they want to try it out. They don't understand the consequences. So it's not just that it's that person has the right to do that. That's the whole movement is promoting sickness in our
society. And look at the hypocrisy there. You don't have the right to ride a motorcycle without a helmet. You get a ticket, right? You don't have the right to driving your car without wearing a seatbelt. You get a ticket. We as a society have decided it's okay to say that certain self-destructive, dangerous behaviors that hurt you and other people, it's not okay. So we regulate all kinds of things. So to say, well, they have the right to mutilate themselves if they want to, it's like kind of, but not. But then why do I have to wear a seatbelt if that's the way it works, you know?
Exactly. And it's not just that that person has a right, but it's that it's affecting society as a whole to where people think it's cool. And without any information from the other side, they are embarking on that career of that lifetime of misery. And that's why, you know, it is it's something that we can't just say, oh, well, whatever you feel like, you know, it's all fine. And you know, it, from just it, not just a Christian standpoint, but from a health standpoint.
Well, and again, what happened to teaching children the message? I thought, what happened to the you're perfect and you're fine just the way you are, right? Where did it? I mean, we tell them that in other things, right? We give them participation trophies in soccer. So why all of a sudden we're like, oh no, actually you're not all right. You're totally wrong. Yeah. You were born in the wrong body. I mean, it's just such mixed. Well, and again, I go back to that it all is part of a bigger picture. And so Democrats, they don't care that there are these logical inconsistencies. They don't care about anything but their ultimate agenda, which I think is to destroy society and replace everything good and decent and families, things like that, with the government. They don't really care that it doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
Hey.
Okay. Oh, is that Barney? Hey, Barney, go ahead.
Yeah. So can I get in on this for a second?
Sure. And I see Trent is here. So Trent, hang on. We'll get to you in a second. Go ahead, Barney.
Okay, it's not going to be a second. Yeah, it's not fair to tie the gays, the actual gays, into these transgender dressing up like a woman. These people are delusional. The problem with Democrats is there's no boundaries. They won't come out and say, hey, don't do that to your kid. It's wrong. You know, there's no judgment. Well, you don't even have to be Christian to say, hey, leave your kid alone. Now, I would disagree and say there are little girls that are born with female parts that just flat look like little boys and act like little boys, but mutilating them when they're under 18. I mean, it's just, and the thing is, you can't walk into a tattoo place and get your 14-year-old tattooed.
That's good point.
So
good point.
Why the hell is this so hard?
Right.
It really isn't. I mean, and it's not even fair to bring the motorcycle thing up because, you know, a lot of these dummies, they get on a bike without a helmet, do 150 miles an hour. They end up in Craig Rehabilitation. Well, then we're paying for your dumbass to be there. We're paying for all that rehabilitation. You're going to be a vegetable for 3 years. But the fact, it's just not fair. I know gays. I've got a cousin that's a flamer. And he's told these people, you guys are out of control. We're talking about children here. This is a flamer. This is a gay that's a 100% flamer. And he's saying you guys are wrong. There's a big difference between this transgender crap and being gay. I've got another cousin that's gay. Has been married to the same guy for 40 flipping years. And everybody else in the family that's heterosexual has been divorced 3 times. So you can't, it's just not fair to tie them into it. The problem is Democrats will not put boundaries on. They won't say, hey, it's wrong, buddy. It's wrong. You don't even have to bring the Bible or Christianity into it. Look, when I was 14 years old, if my mom would have saw me in public with my hand on a girl's butt, she'd have pulled her shoe off and she'd have smacked me in the side of the head. And honestly, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to kiss a girl in public. I'm not going to go around shirtless. I don't feel right doing it. But it doesn't make it like, it's just a society thing. Come on, have a little bit of class. Don't worry. By the way, these clothes where they're at, women look so much better when there's a little bit to be like.
That's what I'm telling you. Most people should not be wearing that anyway, right?
Exactly. And even if they are, for me, I'm sorry. It's a turnoff. Seeing these girls with these big butts and the tight. It's just a turnoff for me. And maybe I'm just old fashioned, but our society is screwed. And by the way, this thing with Dave, well, because I've donated a lot of Democrats because of my daughter where she works. The attack on Dave Williams, if you read from their side, you would look in this like Dave Williams is over with. Trump hates Dave Williams, blah, 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 blah.
None of it's true.
And it's what the Dems, it's not true. But honestly, it's coming from the Republicans. It's not even coming, you know, Dick Wadhams, you're such a turd. You're a big, fat turd. And these rhinos are, they're just turds. They don't, you know. And they hate us conservatives. And when I say conservative, that doesn't mean religious conservative, just conservative. Right. You know, leave everybody alone. But anyway, you got my deal. I wasn't trying to go against Charlene. I'm just saying it's not fair these transgender.
I would say, in fairness, I don't think she was saying. I think she was saying the same thing you are, that there are lines.
Okay.
Listen, Barney, thank you for weighing in. I see we got Trent joining us. And actually, speaking of Rhino is attacking him, so Trent Lisey, candidate in up in Weld County, House District 65, grassroots candidate, Trump supporting candidate, America First supporting candidate, running against a Rhino there. And Trent, I guess now you're not allowed to speak anymore, right? You've been censored from the Weld County GOP forum, right? Because why? Because?
Well, you know, it's funny, and thank you, Julie, for having me on. I don't know where Chuck's at, but thank you.
He's at a meeting.
Okay, well, you should be on this interview.
Yeah,
you know, how this all started was, you know, I have been removed from the Weld County GOP forum page. That is a separate page from the actual Weld GOP.
Right. It's his private.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I've been removed off of there because of my stance on conservative values, being an America First candidate. And, you know, the fact that, you know, I do support what Dave Williams is doing with the party. And that was the biggest factor in removing me from that page, was because I said in an interview with Adam Dorito, I think's his name, that we need to do what Trump did with the party, which was blow it up, start over, and look at where we're at right now. We're finally getting people at the RNC level that right. I feel like we can trust and rebuild. And we need to do that in Colorado because we don't have a party that works for the people. We have a party that works for a select few and the elitist and the lobbyists, and it's all about how much money you can take. And so my opponent is a Rhino, total bought and paid for by the unions, lobbyists, and the establishment. And I'm here for the people, and they don't want representatives that are actually going to support and represent the people. They want representatives who can cater to the elitist in this state.
That's right. Right. Well, I also understand that not only are you fighting them, but they're also working in collusion with what the Colorado Sun reporter, Sandra Fish, right? Who we know.
Yeah. Well, and that's funny. So, yeah. I mean, look, Monday I get an email from her, and then 5 hours later, one of the questions in her email, one of my opponent's friends files a campaign finance violation. Tuesday, same thing, get an email from her. By the end of the day, another one of my opponent's friends files a campaign finance violation. I'm like, okay, this isn't coincidence, okay? And so then Wednesday, I happened to be on Sandra Fish's Twitter page, and I saw she had a screenshot of a text message I sent to voters on Monday with a phone number at the top. And I was like, I wonder whose phone number this is. So I just put it in my phone thinking maybe it's somebody I know, because I'm going to call him and be like, what are you doing? And it was my opponent's phone number. Like, she didn't even take the time to remove it off of the deal. And I'm like, can you make it any more obvious, along with $37,000 worth of flyers? I mean, these people are scared. They want to continue the status quo. And look, we're not the ones dividing the party. They are. They're the ones dividing the party. And I said in the interview, I said, look, I know there's a lot of great Reagan Republicans out there, but this is Trump's party. I mean, that is who it represents, the Republican Party today. Now, in 4 years, it'll be somebody different. But we have to conform to what the party is today, and that people want a party that works for them.
Right.
It doesn't work for a select few.
Right. Well, no, exactly. I mean, I think Trump, people always say, you know, oh, it's a cult of Trump. But no, it's the other way around. Trump became the face of a movement that was already there. Way I look at it. And I think all of these people don't get it. And I think you're absolutely right. Colorado, the old school establishment people, they would, because my guess would be if you win, they're not going to help you out, right? If you win the primary.
Well, that is 100% correct. And that's what I get tired of, these establishments who say, hey, you have to support a Republican, even though you may not like that Republican. But if it's a Republican they don't like, they're not going to support you. They're not going to support me. They would rather vote Democrat or not vote at all than actually support me.
Right. Exactly. Well, one here, let me just a couple more questions and then I'll let you go, because there was one other topic I wanted to get to. One you hear out there on the campaign trail, are people being fooled and twisted by not just the Democrats, but by the establishment Republicans, or are people seeing through it, or what's your sense? A little bit of
that's
both.
A great question. I mean, Tuesday, I think Tuesday is going to decide that. Yeah. I think Tuesday is going to decide what kind of county Weld County is, what kind of district House District 65 will be. Will it be the continuation of Mike Lynch and the Rhino establishment, or will it be a new direction with America First and people who actually, you know, myself, who look after, you know, the Coloradoans and you know, them being my constituents and being a voice for them. But I think, you know, I hear it both ways. I mean, I hear people say, look, I want to, you know, we can't have this division, and it's your party. It's your part of the party that's causing the division. And then you have, you know, the other part that says, no, we want a party that works for us. And I hear it from both sides of the Republican, you know, when I'm out here talking to people. And I think Tuesday is going to be the big deal. I mean, if the people want to continue the establishment status quo, then you're going to vote for my opponent, and tough crap, you get what you pay for. So
yeah, exactly. Well, Trent, I know you could probably use any last minute help you can get. Where can people go to find out more about you, volunteer, knock on doors, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, we got a big push this weekend through the end of Tuesday there on Election Day. But visit my website, TrentLeisy.com. That's LEISY.com. Or, you know, they can tag me on Twitter, at Real Trent Leisy, and just go there. My contact information is there. Send an email, text me, whatever you need to be. We'd love anybody to help that we can. Donations, obviously, are greatly appreciated. But, you know, we've got a big fight ahead of us. And, you know, Colorado's, I feel like Tuesday's going to decide which direction Colorado goes in.
I agree. All right, Trent, thank you for your time. Good luck. Good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for everything you do.
Sure. Thank you. There were so many. I want to say this. That's funny. From Leo, he was saying back to the previous conversation. Really? You mean my neighbors don't want to see me walking around in my tidy whities? No. there's all this. Let's see. The priceless, the feeling you get when Kyle Clark teams up with rhinos to attack Dave Williams. Let's see. Oh, and Charlene said, I also thought they were tidy whiteys. And then Dr. Donna, if words could fly, Gabe would fly based on what many Republicans who ought to know him better are saying about him. Yeah, I think Trent is right. It's going to be a big day on Tuesday, and obviously we will be all talking about it. But I wanted to switch gears a little bit, this being Party Friday, something kind of funny, at least I find it funny. So I don't know if you guys saw, this is, you know, Biden policy backfiring again. So Biden, as you know, forgave a bunch of student debt, right? And some guy, a Democrat, posted on his Twitter feed, he showed like a little thing, and he said, just got the call to let me know that my student debt was canceled. This is why elections matter. Thanks, Joe Biden, right? Now, this person was just immediately excoriated because all these other people saying, I paid for that. But then it got worse. Turns out the idiot who actually posted this is a congressional Democrat staffer for Representative Marcy Kaptur, a Democrat out of Ohio, who makes $90,000 a year. This guy makes $90,000 a year. He had an $8,000 student loan debt from 2010. And as people started pointing out on Twitter, they went through a social media feed. So this guy was saying, thanks to it. But I mean, this guy was just a freeloader. He had no intention of ever paying that debt. He was just a freeloader. And should be just totally ashamed of himself and disgraced. All these other people work hard to pay. He had no intention. His social media posts show him having expensive restaurants, trips. He had season tickets to the Philadelphia Eagles valued at $3,000 a year, all kinds of vacations. And then somebody did the math, and I think this is great. They said, oh, wait, so this guy who's making $90,000 a year has never paid a dime on $8,000 worth of student debt from 2010. If he had paid it, you know what it would cost him? $47.50 a month. For $47, this guy could have paid it. So this is not some person who is swamped by student debt. And don't even forget, you shouldn't get yourself into student debt if you can't pay it in the first place. I'm sorry. But it's just ridiculous. And so again, I think it is so backfired on Joe Biden because he thought, oh, this is going to be great. Instead, all it did is make people angry, like this guy. And so we have some video. A reporter went and tried to talk to this guy. His name is Ben Kamens. If we could please play Thomas, the Dem staffer video.
What do you have to say about the fact that your student debt has been paid off by...
He has nothing to say. So, here's the thing that makes it even better. He was the communications director for this. I don't know if you're a communications director, but it also sort of says something to me about just the entitlement. Dr. Donnie, you're right. The entitlement that they have, he doesn't even think to himself, nowhere does it occur to him, I make $90,000 a year. I took this loan out. Somebody somewhere, the debt, it's not like it goes away, right? It's not like the university say, oh, no one owes us any money. The government pays it. And I read somewhere that this is going to add over $100 billion to the deficit to try to pay off all of this stuff. And not only that, now look at all the people. I mean, I'm sorry, if I had a student loan right now, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not paying that either. If a clown like this who makes $90,000 a year has ignored his student loan for 14 years, I'm not going to jump on mine. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I think it just totally backfired on the Democrats. Another piece real quick of hopefully good news. As you know, Steve Bannon, corruptly convicted of contempt of Congress for failing to obey a congressional subpoena, Merrick Garland, plenty of other people, is in a couple of weeks supposed to go to federal prison to start serving roughly a 4-month prison term, right? He, you know, no surprise, lost in the district court, the district appellate court in Washington, D.C., but he did file an appeal with the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. And interestingly enough, the chief judge ordered the Biden administration, the Biden regime, to respond to this by Wednesday. So to me, that says at least they're not dismissing it out of hand, right? At least they're not saying, no, we're not even going to hear it. You have to go to court or you have to go to prison. So it'll be interesting to see, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Biden administration tries to say, well, Steve Bannon needs to go to jail for being in contempt of Congress, but all of these Democrats who are in contempt of Congress, that's okay. It's going to be interesting to see how they play that whole argument. Hey, and so once again, I want to thank the BBS guys for the t-shirts. That's going to wrap it up for us. Chuck, I'm sure, will be back on Monday. He's just been very busy with meetings lately. Thank you to Tim Leonard, Trent Licey. Love all of you guys on Zoom so much. Remember, you can catch all our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you, Thomas, and we will see you all on Monday. In the meantime, happy Party Friday, everybody.